Welcome back to hour number two of this very best of the Steve Jones Show. As we rebroadcast the show, originally aired May 14th, 2015, when we lost the legendary voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions, Fran Fischer. Steve took to the Sunbury Motor Studio that day, remembered Fran, and asked you to share your memories as well. We continue with this special Best of the Steve Jones Show, a rebroadcast originally airing May 14th, 2015. This special Best of the Steve Jones Show is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. This is the Best of the Steve Jones Show, remembering Fran Fischer.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Quick off the play action is going to pass. Goes.
It's complete to Kenny Jackson with the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Penn State.
Mike Stillman will snap to Trang. It's back. It's down. It's up.
It's good.
It's second down and goal to go. The ball at about the 3.5 yard line.
The gift to Warner, skipping to the outside. He's got the corner. Touchdown, Penn State.
The play action. Blackledge is going to pass. He's throwing deep down the left corner. Gurdy's there. Touchdown!
Greg Gurdy on a perfect throw from Todd Blackledge. 3, 2, 1, Penn State national champion!
Well, people used to tell me, Fran, we watch the game, but we turn the sound down and listen to radio. And then, of course, they said, we got two games for the price of one. The one they were watching, the one they were listening to.
Well, he was self-deprecating about that, but that wasn't true. Fran Fischer passed away this morning at the age of 91. From 1966 through 82, and then from 1994 to 1999, Fran Fischer, altogether 19 seasons as the play-by-play voice, 23 seasons overall, and when you think of the foundation of, you know, over the years, I mean, let's face it, if you go all the way back to Bill Hollenbeck, and then obviously the Rose Bowl teams and what Bob Higgins did and so forth. Yeah, Penn State was doing fine. But it wasn't until Rip Engel came here, elevated Penn State, and then Joe took the foundation that Rip built and then put together the spectacular football mansion. But you can put together the spectacular football mansion all you want. If you don't have an iconic voice in that era, because television rules the roost today, Fran made it exciting to listen to Penn State football. Fran made it exciting to the point where you said, you know what, I think I ought to go to Beaver Stadium. Fran, through all of his incredible work with the Nittany Lion Club and all the speaking engagements, engage people in such a way where he made people into Penn State fans because they love talking to him. So, a sad day, but also a day to celebrate a great career and a great life. Couple of quick notes for you just before we move on. I want to get your calls are the most important part, as always. 800-795-9565. Just your recollections of the man, what you loved about him. 800-795-9565. He was to Penn State what Harry Callis was to the Phillies, what Bob Prince was to the Pirates, Ernie Harwell to the Tigers, Chuck Thompson to the Colts, and to the Orioles. I mean, that's what Fran Fischer was. You know, he was our iconic voice. I'd like to hear what you think at 800-795-9565. Dick Girardi tomorrow, by the way, from the Preakness. The number one post, by the way, going to the favorite American Pharaoh. We'll talk about that. And next Wednesday, the commissioner of the Big Ten, Jim Delaney, will join us on the show. So that's what we have coming up for you.
Steve, one of the things I don't think a lot of people realize is the reason there's a Penn State Sports Network today is because of the work that Fran did.
Oh, I don't have... I mean, look, I'm the greatest beneficiary of Fran Fischer's on-air work. I mean, I'm the greatest beneficiary on the entire planet. Now... And, I mean, because he set up everything that Jack and I get to do. He set it all up. He gave the network popularity. He, you know, sure, the product in the field is above all. You know, his son Jerry has done an awesome job as the play-by-play voice of Lady Lion basketball. His son Jeff's been involved with various ventures with Penn State for years. But, I mean, I'm the greatest beneficiary of the whole thing. Because of what he was. He just, you know. You know, it's just a very, very special guy. I mean, the TV quarterbacks, I mean, everything. Speaking engagement. The one-liners. He was as sharp with the one-liner at 91 as he was in 41. I mean, remarkable. Truly remarkable. And Chris Wheeler sent me a text the last time. The last time I believe, well, I think it was the next to last time I talked to Fran. He had come out to practice, and Wheels was at practice. It was the Saturday before the Blue-White game. And Fran came out to practice often. Fran was out of practice. Bill O'Brien made sure he could come out to practice anytime he wanted. James Franklin made sure he could come out to practice anytime he wanted. And so I saw Fran a lot. People say, hey, when's the last time you saw Fran Fischer? Usually I was saying Tuesday. I saw Fran a lot and always took the time, for obvious reasons, just because I think the world of him, to spend time and talk to him. Well, it turned out on this day, Wheels was there. And I remember Jeff Fischer had to go outside, so he asked me to tend to Fran's wheelchair, because they were running a scrimmage. So in case anything happened, I could pull Fran back, make sure he was going to be okay. So, it was my responsibility. And I made sure Wheels got to meet him. And Wheels sent me a text this afternoon about how much that meant. Just to, see Fran again, talk to him again, and how special it was. And it was special. But all of you, this is your recollection. This is your voice of an entire generation. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Your thoughts on Fran Fischer. Let's recap Fran in his own words. We'll do this and we'll work our way back. Fran talking about the 1982 experience in winning the national championship.
One thing about the 82 experience was Joe Fredericks is a guy that was a manager of the New Orleans Hilton and a devout Penn Stater and a big fan of Joe Paterno's. And he made us feel so much at home and made that hotel lobby blue and white and the girls... in the short blue and white skirts, which I looked at but forget why, and it was a really a Penn State experience, and Bourbon Street was like College Avenue South.
Indeed, it was, and Joe Fredericks was incredible down at the New Orleans Hilton. Ironically, though, for Fran. And this is fortunate for all of us because you heard at the top of the hour here and at the top of the show an hour ago, Fran calling the national championship game. Well, Penn State went to bowl games virtually every year. The only year, 66 and 70 were the only 2 years in Fran's initial tenure on the air that Penn State did not go to bowl games. But Fran never could broadcast any of those games because a national radio contracts. The first one he was able to broadcast was the Sugar Bowl.
Absolutely. We weren't allowed because the networks, Mutual in most cases, had purchased the rights. And it made for, we didn't mean to go off on a tangent here.
No, you're not on a tangent.
But it made it very difficult for us because taking Pittsburgh, for example, we had KDKA on our network broadcasts from week to week. And all of a sudden, here comes the bowl, and the Mutual station in Pittsburgh was KQV. Yeah. And pretty soon, the station that's carried our games all season didn't have the big game of the year. And it was very awkward. The COSIDA people, the sports information group, mm-hmm. pressured the bowls into making certain that even though there was a network involved in the radio broadcast of a bowl, that the participating teams, individual networks, were given permission. So all those years that there were bowls involved, I was a spectator or sometimes a spotter. And so you're right, Steve. The Sugar Bowl was the first bowl game I ever did.
And, of course, the TV coverage over the years grew exponentially. Every game's on television now. Fran, of course, TV quarterbacks. That was, for the most part, the TV coverage in the 70s into the early 80s while he worked on radio. He discussed the radio-TV partnership.
Well, people used to tell me, Fran, we watch the game, but we turn the sound down and listen to radio. And then, of course, they said, we got two games for the price of one.
No.
The one they were watching, the one they were listening to. But working with Jim was a pleasure. I worked 1 year with Mickey Bergstein.
Yes.
And he's a longtime friend. I've known him for many, many, many years and was a broadcaster in the early, early days with guys like Bob Prince. The fact that Jim and I had kind of worked in an association on TV quarterbacks, and the fact that Jim could be perceived by the listener as an insider, if you will, and be able to impart things that nobody else would know, was the rationale. And being a very good friend, and it was helpful. And I think you can tell that when two guys broadcast together, whether they really like each other.
Yeah,
you can't hide some of those things. There are times when I've heard broadcasts when I don't think these two guys get along necessarily. Perhaps it's because the color man has designs on his job. I don't know. But anyway, with Jim, a longtime friend, known him for years and years and years and years. And he was good. He didn't overdo it. He prepared himself extremely well. And it was a conversational kind of arrangement. And then, of course, working with George, which is an experience of a lifetime.
Yes, that was an experience.
Wonderful guys. Okay, I'm very fortunate.
No question, but we were fortunate to hear it. He, of course, had conversations all the time with Joe Paterno. So there was a basic question. What was more important when it came to the radio network?
What is most important to him in terms of the radio network, dollars or coverage? He said coverage. Whoa, that makes my job a lot easier.
Sure.
And so the people responded well. And then on top of that, of course, came the immediate or nearly immediate success of the program in 67, 68, 69. And we were in a seller's market.
Indeed, they were in a seller's market because of the success. And when did Fran really get a sense that he was on the ground floor of something special?
I think the second year I was broadcasting, Steve, we played North Carolina State.
Yeah.
And they were ranked, and Joe was kind of floundering around a little bit. And they made a great goal line stand and beat North Carolina State, who incidentally was coached by an ex-Penn State assistant, Earl Edwards.
Yep.
So it was a big win.
And a lot of assistants were from Penn State, too.
That's correct. That's correct. That was and so it was an awfully big moment, I would say, in the career, because from that point on, things looked up considerably.
And then he talked about the two of us together and that Penn State is special because of the connection that the two of us have.
I got to say this about both of us, Steve.
Yes.
Here we are in a major university football program.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are with two guys who have been the play-by-play broadcasters that weren't brought in from Chicago,
right,
or Los Angeles.
Right.
It says something about this university and the athletic department that they would take two guys, not that we weren't capable, but we didn't really have the resume, Steve.
We didn't have the name.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And they said, doesn't make any difference. These guys are our kind of guys. They're here. They're close to the program. And I think that says a great deal for Penn State University and its athletic department. Now, that's enough of the sermon complete. According to St. Francis.
Oh, your thoughts on the passing of a legend that impacted so many. 800-795-9565 after this on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The voice of a generation. And the irony is that yesterday we were talking about iconic voices. We were talking about what Harry Callis meant to the Philly fan base, what Bill Campbell meant. We mentioned Wheels. We mentioned Bob Prince. We mentioned Bill Hillgrove, Jack Fleming. And then I specifically mentioned, obviously I mentioned Jack as to what Jack's done. But also singling out Fran Fischer, that he is one of the true iconic voices of college football. And then, of course, Fran passed away this morning. I mean, his son Jerry is... and to Jerry and Jeff, obviously, and the entire Fisher family, our deepest, deepest condolences. Jerry has certainly carried on Fran's legacy by the great work he does as the voice of Lady Lion basketball. And has carved out a really, really strong career himself in radio. So, Fran Fisher, Jim Tarman, and Joe Paterno, I mean, they traveled the state together in the early days. In the early days of all of this, when they were looking for people to cover them, and of course the primary concentration was trying to get newspapers to cover them, obviously. That was Jim Tarman's job. Fran's job was, hey, go out and get as many radio stations as you could. And he was always very proud of the association he had by getting WKOK on the broadcast. I mean, with the huge signal that the station has. And, he gave back to charity, worked hard. He's a hard, hard working guy. And he and George Paterno in the hotel lobby holding court. People don't hold court anymore. But he and George did, and the crowd would just build and build and build and build and build as they told one story after another. They always had that connection to the fan that was very special. Very, very special. Always admired that. Always did. 800-795-9565, you'd like to jump in and talk to us about Fran, including Drew in Selinsgrove. Grove. Hi, Drew.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Drew, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm really sorry for your loss. I know how close you guys were, and I'm sure that you're really feeling it today. So sorry to hear about it.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that because, very, very lucky to have such a close relationship with him. I mean, I thought the world about Fran Fisher, and at the same time, he treated me like a little piece of gold, and I never understood why, but he did.
Well, anybody that spent 30 seconds with the man knew what a keen sense of humor he had and what a sharp wit he had, and it did not take long to learn that. And, years can be tough on people, and some they attack the mind and some they attack the body. And in the case of Pete, as he grew on, he was as sharp as the day, that he turned 19 years old. And I don't think that, he got sharper, I think, in his age.
And he was as sharp with the one-liners at 91 as he was at 41. How about that?
He really was. He really was. And the Fran story that I'll share today is he was, I believe, involved with an advertising agency in State College when I worked in radio there in the early 90s. And they had the Unimart account. And the station that I worked at, we ran the wrong spot. And he called. And let me tell you something, Steve. He really let me have it. And at first I was like, what in the world? You know, I ran the wrong commercial. Like, what's the crime here? What's so wrong? But after I thought about it for a while, you know, and after we fixed the problem and after I really understood what this was about, he wasn't mad at me. He was upset that he wasn't doing the best for his client, which was, you know, at the time Unimart, and how much that meant to him and how important it was, you know, that he went to bat for those clients. And it really had nothing to do with me, and it had everything to do that, you know, he wanted to do the best for those around him. And I've never forgotten that, and I've carried that with me, you know, through my career in radio, too. And I've always kind of remembered that about him.
Fran always worried about everybody else. He never worried about himself, ever. Drew, thanks so much. Recollections after the passing of the great Fran Fischer. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
We'll continue the best of the Steve Jones Show, remembering Fran Fischer, in just a moment. A reminder that Steve's back in the Sunbury Motors studio coming up on Monday as we get ready for the National Football League season, college football, and high school football. And, of course, we'll talk about the Little League World Series and IndyCar coming back to Pocono. All that's still to come here in the month of August as we get ready for football season and more here on the Steve Jones Show. But today, one final best of the Steve Jones Show, as Steve continues a little R&R. We remember the late Fran Fischer. Back on May 14th, 2015, we lost Fran Fischer. And on that day, Steve Jones went in the Sunbury Motors studio to remember Fran and asked for your memories as well. This is a special rebroadcast of the show originally airing May 14th, 2015. This special Best of the Steve Jones Show is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And he's back to pass, of course. And he's going long to Shoffy Field.
And he makes the catch at the 50. He's at the 45, the 40, the 35, the 30. He's going all the way down the sideline. Penn State shuts down. No flag, no flag, no flag.
I've been looking for that all day. That's my favorite Fran Fischer call ever.
That was his last season broadcasting the games. That was 1999. Kevin Thompson to Shoffy Fields when all appeared lost in the Orange Bowl. And one of Fran's great calls in his final season. See, that's the passion and the love and the connection with the team that I think so many people loved about Fran Fischer. You have had several Facebook comments, people who can't call the show but can comment on Facebook, and I know you have a series of them.
Yeah, Justin commented that it was very sad. He was a great play-by-play caller and will always be missed. And Kim said, always enjoyed listening to him, thoughts with the family. Andrea mentioned on our Facebook page how heartbreaking it is. Rest in peace, Mr. Fischer. Let Joe know how much we love and miss him. And Sean also said, rest in peace. Joe McGranahan, who was the general manager here when WKOK became a Penn State affiliate, actually had worked with Fran Fischer, being part of the network as well. And Joe made a comment earlier today about Fran and, you know, the relationship that they had, the working relationship that they had, and wanted to send his respects as well to Fran Fischer and the family. He said it was a good friend and an outstanding broadcaster.
Well, Jerry, Jeff, the grandchildren, his daughter-in-law, send our deepest condolences. Great family. Think the world of all of them. Fran was just very, very special. It's very, very special. And whether it was the Nittany Lion Club or the various events that he broadcast, but I think, you know, above all, I mean, he got the basketball network going. I mean, I may be the one that has almost all the games, but he's the one that I don't have all the games unless he does what he did. I mean, you know, I think Fran was on the basketball network, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years. And, you know, he's the one that started it. Well, you know, like I said, I not for guys like him. I'm not sitting in the spot that I'm sitting in right now. It's just, and he just, why he treated me the way he did, as well as he did, I'll never know, except he's just a really, really good man. Let's go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Welcome.
Hey. You know, I was thinking when I heard this announcement about when my father-in-law passed away 10 years ago, and we were at the wake, and a distinguished gentleman approached me and stuck out his hand and said, "You probably don't know who I am." And when he got to probably, of course, I knew who it was, even if I hadn't noticed that little microphone on the lapel of his coat. And I said, "Oh, Mr. Fischer, of course I know who you are. I grew up here in State College. You, sir, are the voice of the Nittany Lions." And he just smiled at me and leaned over and said, "Hang in there, kid." It meant a lot to me. He was such a humble and giving person.
I think that sums it up well, a humble and giving person. That's a beautiful moment, but that's one of typical Fran Fischer moments. Cindy, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, 800-795-9565. And that's the way he was. You know, it's a business. It's a business, I think, that used to be a lot more... I think it's a business that used to have a lot more ego in it. How about that? You know, years ago. I find now, going around when I talk to the other guys, that, you know, they're just down-to-earth, really, really great guys. Well, in a time where, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, you know, hey, the hotshot radio announcer, the whole thing, Fran wasn't that guy. He was just a down-to-earth, give-back-to-other-people guy. Never felt he was special, just loved what he did. You know, and the people of Greensburg loved him. The people of Lewistown loved him. And then it turned out the entire state loved him. Hall of Famer of the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters, PAB. They have Hall of Fame plaques up in Carnegie Building on campus. I remember I was there the day they inducted him. It was a very special, special moment. And, you know, Penn State was able to withstand what happened over the last 3.5 years unlike I think any other university could have because of what had been built in the previous 50 years. And that includes what Joe did, what his staff did, what the players did, the traditions, the way the fans stuck in there, the way Jim Tarman built the publicity side of it, the way Fran Fischer built the radio side of it, the TV quarterback side of it. There was such a strength in the foundation and all of that that those three guys really built. And Jim is still with us, although Jim Tarman is struggling. And, of course, I work with his son, Jeff, all the time. But now we've lost Joe and we've lost Fran. Penn State athletics isn't where it is without the Jim Tarmans, the Fran Fishers, the Joe Paternos, and, of course, the assistant coaches and the players and so forth. I mean, obviously, their accomplishments are forever celebrated. But behind the scenes, in conjunction with Joe Paterno, Fran Fischer, and Jim Tarman were slices of gold to this university. Because Jim had a real feel for the publicity part of it, starting, and Jim started back in the days with Rip Bengel. You know, the Riverboat Richie campaign for the Heisman, and he ended up finishing second to, I believe it was Billy Cannon in 59. Or I say in 60, he finished second to him. In 1960. Because 59 would have been Ernie Davis, right? And, you know, he had that feel for that publicity part of it. Fran Fischer had that feel for the fan and had the connections in radio that it could allow, in conjunction with the product, to get the radio network to explode and become huge. And then, of course, he had the goods to deliver it on the air. And Joe Paterno had the sense to understand that Jim and Fran knew exactly what they were doing, and he was willing to go along with whatever they wanted. Now, you know, but there are always going to be moments. For example, I'll give you a great example. 1980 season. Penn State has to make a decision. Joe has to make the decision between Jeff Hostetler and Todd Blackledge. And so Fran tapes the pregame show with him. So he tapes the pregame, and he tells him in the pregame, Todd Blackledge will be the starting quarterback in the opener against, I think it was Colgate. Okay, fine. That was taped on Thursday. On Friday, I passed Fran in the hallway. This Friday, it's 19-8. I passed Fran in the hallway. And I said, Fran, what are you doing back here? He says, Steve, he changed his mind. I had to tape the pregame show all over again because he's going to go with Jeff Hostetler instead. That stuff happens. He was under the weather for the great Nebraska game, yet made the brilliant call on the touchdown pass to Kirk Bowman. And Bowman cradles that ball in the end zone. And Fran says, tell us, tell us. Well, they told him. He said, touchdown, Penn State. He says, the fans are out of the stands. Great moments. Great moments. Herb Menhart's 79-yard field goal, NC State, grazes the crossbar. Kid for NC State just puts his head down. And Fran says, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Kevin played no flags, no flags, no flags. It was also the drive in 94 at Illinois. Fran broadcast. He was part of the broadcast team in 68, part of the broadcast team in 69. As the play-by-play voice for John Cappelletti's Heisman Trophy year. As the play-by-play voice for Penn State's first-ever ascension to number one in 1978. As the play-by-play voice when Penn State got back to number one in 81, and of course, as the play-by-play voice when they won their first official national championship in 82. He returns in 94, they go 12-0 with George Paterno. The unfortunate part was they wasn't allowed to do the Rose Bowl. I remember being at the pep rally. Fran and I were at the pep rally together at the Rose Bowl in 94. And I feel I remember telling you how much I thought it stunk that it's 1994. You still can't do the Rose Bowl? He then went on and did the other bowl games after that. What a career, what a life. 91 years plus, well spent on this earth. And were we all the beneficiaries to hear his work and see his work every week. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Thanks for tuning in for this very best of the Steve Jones Show, Remembering Fran Fischer. And now the final segment of the show, Remembering Fran Fischer, originally airing May 14th, 2015.
One more day, one more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied.
Fran Fischer passing away at the age of 91 this morning. Our deepest condolences to Jerry Fischer, Jeff Fischer, Jeff's wife Colleen, the grandchildren, something I'm going to miss. There's a thousand things I'm going to obviously miss. Let's face it, I knew the man for 37 years. Is going to be Thursday night. They moved, it used to be, in the 80s, they'd do the show in Greenberg. And Fran got that show started as the host in 88. Perfect choice. And I was on the radio network as the third announcer, and one of my responsibilities as the third announcer was I was the one to do the pregame show with Joe. So we all of us thought, between Bud Tallman, Fran, myself, we and Joe, it was felt that it was best that when the show was over on Thursday, I would tape it then because Joe's sitting right there. So I was always there for the last half of the show. And just watching, there's certain things that I do today as to how I handle that show. When we're doing the call part, it's different, a little bit different now. That, or a little phrase that Fran would use that I will freely admit, you know, here and there I stole. Because I thought, wow, this guy knows exactly what he's doing. So I freely stole it. So there are a few ways of introducing callers on the air that were stolen directly from Fran by me. But what I'll miss is that in the last 3 years, we've taken the show now out to Damon's, which is now going to be Letterman's here in State College, and with Bill O'Brien and with James Franklin. And sitting in the booth straight across from our broadcast area, Fran was always there every Thursday night. Every Thursday night, Fran was there. And I'm going to look over there on Thursday, September 3rd. And for the first time, not see him sitting there. He was at practice. You know, the reason, you talk about setting the table for somebody. The reason the network is as large as it is because obviously the quality of the football and what Joe built, but also the hard work that Fran put in, the ultra preparation that he put in. The reason, for example, I get to go to practice, that Joe let me go to practice, that Bill let me go to practice, that James does, is because Fran always went. I've reaped so many of the benefits of having this wonderful
incredible, lovable individual as my predecessor. And it's allowed me to have, you know, because of him, you know, we on the radio network get that embarrassment of riches because of all the hard work that he put in and the dedication. And, you know, Cindy's story that she calls is typical of Fran always being there for somebody else and reaching out to them in a time of need. Fran telling the one-liner in the room that just brings the house down. Fran in conversation and holding court with George at the hotel on the road. Fran and George together with Joe on those Friday nights up in Bud Tallman's room and then Jeff Nelson's room or Dave Baker's room. And the stories. Oh, the stories. TV quarterbacks. Penn State had a kicker. Oh, who was it? It was back in the early 70s. And Fran always asked the general question, what college are you in? Like the College of Communications, College of Engineering. So he looks at the kid and he says, so what college are you in? And he looks at him befuddled. Goes, Penn State! True story. True story. What college are you in? Penn State. And Fran, not skipping a beat, went right to the next question. He says, and within Penn State, what are you studying? It's one of the great moments on that show. They always had these plays drawn up on the board. One day, Joe erased all the plays to show a play. Fran was always ready to go on the show, and Joe would walk in and said, everybody ready? Let's go. All across the country, there are fans that through radio and TV have attached themselves to teams in part because of the iconic voices that were friends to them on the radio. In that realm, Fran Fischer was the best friend Penn State fans ever had. Rest in peace, my good friend.